Yo, we're live. This is me. I'm the Solo Kid. This is my podcast. And this is where I talk about whatever shit I like. And yet can say shit, fuck, whatever the fuck I want to. I'm into loads of stuff. Philosophy, history, ancient history, art, music, science, nature, spirituality. And yeah, this podcast is just going to be about all the shit I like. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, fuck off. Anyway. Today, we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine. His name is Marisi Makondo Wills. He's a boss piano player, producer, MC, extraordinaire, artiste, man of the keys and ting. Sitting there in his studio and whatever.
MMW Studios.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, MMW Studios. Just throw that in there. Get the plug. You know what I'm saying?
I mean.
And, me and Marisi, we go back. Away a good what is it now?
Long time.
2012 maybe? 2011?
Yeah, 2012. It was 2012.
So at least 8 or so years.
Yeah, man.
We obviously eight met. Years, huh? 2011?
8 years. Eight years. It's mad.
Yeah, we shared a commonality because he's half South African. I'm South African living in London. We just linked immediately.
Yeah, that's it, man.
We were chilling in the park. Man.
It was mad.
Chilling with my boy Mass Loa. I was chilling with some other guys called the Archetypes. We got Mass Loa. Adam Zach. Was he recording, writing some tunes, and this guy just rolls up there and he's like, "Sorry, guys. You don't need weed for me."
Yeah, bro.
And we were like, "Yeah, man." And he was like, "Oh, you guys do music, yeah? You guys do music?" I'm like, "Yeah." It's like, "Oh, I do music." And then the next thing you know, we were in the studio that day. I was working in the studio in Wolseden.
Yeah, rolled through it.
The rest is history, bro.
It's mad. It's mad. Without further ado,
I've introduced him. Marisi, tell us who you are. Tell us about yourself, man.
Yeah, man. Marisi, M-R-I-S-I, Marisi Music. On all socials and that. I'm a keys man. You pretty much said it all, Keenan. I don't really need to elaborate. Apart from just check it out on the socials, innit? But no, it's funny, even just that day, meeting you was mad because it was, obviously I was looking for food all around. Obviously, the park, I just moved and I'd just come back from South Africa. And I'd missed a whole week of uni.
Was that World Cup time? Was it just after the World Cup?
Yeah, just after the
World Cup. Yeah, because the World Cup was 2010.
I was 18, actually. It was my 18th birthday in that same thing. So it was in June. No, you know what? It might have September. Even been... It might have been the year after.
Yeah, probably, I think, yeah.
It was the year after. But anyway, I'd spent a week in London. I'd moved there, but I hadn't been to uni. I didn't know like any of my other uni people. And then because they'd all spent a week and I'd spent a week in my yard just not knowing that I was meant to be at uni. And then so that day that I've come back from uni the first day, I'm like, right, I need some food. It was annoying because everyone knew each other. I didn't know no one in it. So everyone's looking at me like, who's this guy? But obviously, I'm a week late for uni. No, everyone's in their little cliques already. So I'm like, I see these other guys in the park. I'm like, da 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 da. No. So I see you guys, you there chilling with your guitar and that. So I thought, yeah, maybe you guys, like, you had guitars and you were doing music and stuff. So I thought, yeah, maybe. See what these guys are saying. So then, yeah, obviously. Yeah, so Matthew, fucking, who else? Yeah,
Adam and Zach. And I think Dano was there that day, actually.
Dano was there, yeah. And there was another South African girl as well there, I remember.
South African?
Woman. She was there. I think she was coloured as well, you know.
No, man.
I'm sure.
No.
The girl there, 100%. There was.
Just for those who don't know, yeah, especially if you're British and you're watching this, coloured in South Africa is a term for mixed race people. So we do not mean any derogatory when we are saying coloured, because in South Africa, I am regarded as coloured. Morisi would probably be too. I don't know. But yeah, if you mix race, that's what it means. So yeah, just so you know.
But anyway, yeah, so yeah, I'm sure she was there anyway. But then obviously we're chilling and then we went to the studio at Dolly Phil. That was mad. And then I see the studio and it was crazy because it was like obviously being in London, kind of, I knew people already. And that was the weirdest thing, which I'll get onto. Obviously, we got to the studio or whatever. But then it turns out that Mass knows a lot of people that I know already from London. You know, Zico, Watusi being one of them. Io, like a few heads.
Niles and him as well.
Niles, all of, you know what I mean? And it was just Baba like... Baba Ade, rest in peace. You know what I mean? Like, but even weirder as well, so like you know, and you as well, knowing people that my dad knows from South Africa, where you know what I mean, where you're from South Africa. And even deeper as well, like, you know, the people that Mass was closely family connected to, my dad also knows them from back in the day as well.
So it was like,
it was a weird connection, you know what I mean?
Cosmic connection, bro.
Yeah, trust me.
That tune that we did, me, you, Mass, and Zico, it was something like that. Reunion. It's like a loop into a movement.
Like a reunion. Yeah, it was a big tune. Nah, but yeah, and then obviously I was chilling with you, man, for time. You, man, like, looked after me, showed me London, you know what I mean? Invited me around places. But, and yeah, it was mad.
No, it was a sick time, man. I was like, I remember for me as well, like, immediately we just started doing stuff, bro.
You
started your band, and then we just started gigging. Like, we were just playing mad gigs everywhere, bro.
But trust me, bro. It was crazy.
Played everywhere. Like, and then you obviously introduced us to the Brighton scene and got to know all the Brighton people and your peeps and whatever, Sam, and you know what I mean? And
everyone, all the world.
Brought Rory down to record there and stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Down at the studio. It was a cool time as well in Brighton. Obviously, I was back and forth as well. So it was like, yeah, it was mad. It was a mad time, man. But I feel, yeah,
especially. Got to play, the Commonwealth Games with your dad as well when we went with Superstar.
Yeah, that was crazy. That whole thing, yeah, did a lot of good stuff them times, man.
You and Zico were actually with Abstract Sun. You, Zico, and Mass were me and Steve's first clients, basically. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And we did.
Well, it was a special time. Even the first day that we, I think your first Abstract Sun photo shoot was the day that I met you guys, and I ended
up being, literally. Was you in the pictures?
Yeah, I was in the picture.
I should put some of those pictures up in the podcast. I'll do that.
Yeah, man. On the wall just outside, I think, went out. Yeah, man. Smart.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, it was a good time musically, man. It was a crazy time. Like, it was a lot of... Yeah, like, even like all the jams that we used to have at the studio on Dulles Hill, like, they were crazy. But thinking about it now... It was a deeper thing.
Late night, just bunning it down.
Late night, bunning it in the studio. We all got like grand pianos, top equipment.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I had the studio keys, bro. Like, we were in a big SSL disc, fucking recording whatever we want. Grand piano, drum kits, keys, whatever we wanted, bro. It was all there. It was sick.
Crazy, man.
It was really sick.
Bad jams, man. And just sick music as well, like. Sick musicians, sick people. Like I remember all Bear of Mass's brethren used to come through as well. Like everyone, you know what I mean? It was just...
Yeah, well, even when Zico was recording his EP or his album there, like, he brought all the African Revolution guys down, Wesley, all the sick drummers and, you know, different instrumentalists to come and play on his stuff. You brought your dad and what's the other guy as well with all the percussion. Well, sick, man. So for me, that was lovely. Like, I got to record like everything and learn how to record everything and use all that and stuff. So it was sick, like, learning
process. No, it was mad. Even the process of doing my album, Angla Freak, it was like, I'd never done a project like that before. And it was like, it was just perfect. Perfect space. You know what I mean? You and Steve, like, perfect engineers. Like, yeah, it was close to my yard. You know, stay there late. It was a good thing, man.
That's what I'm thinking. You were in uni and you had obviously access to studios, but that was even better than the uni stuff.
It's funny, like my whole uni experience was cool, but it really wasn't what I was expecting from London at the time. Because also at the time, it wasn't like now where like hip or black music is big. Like when I was at uni, indie and that kind of like rock stuff was still, it's like just about finishing. Do you know what I mean? It was still the majority of
what. Yeah, because the studio I was working in was like majority like rock bands and like hard rockers and all that kind of stuff.
All of that. So it was like being with you, man, was perfect. And it was just even more perfect because I knew everyone already. Like, it wasn't like...
It's just like family.
Everyone was family. It just happened to be like, I would have met you, man, at some point. It just happened to be that I didn't, you know what I mean? That I hadn't up until that point, but I probably, you know, probably would have done. Yeah. And yeah, just the musical schooling, like I ended up getting thrown into so many bands, like even, you know, playing with...
Was it Ola?
Bingo. Yeah, Ola.
I was playing with what were they called? Calendarios.
Calendarios. They were a serious, serious project. And just like being around all different music, going to that jam that we used to go to there in West London.
Near Ladbroke Grove?
Begins with a K, the area. It was near Ladbroke Grove. Green. It was around that area.
Yeah, Kensal Green.
Do you remember that? And
Where the Calendarios used to play all the time, man.
And that was the Wade guy.
We were in that band with them.
We were in the band, yeah. But this is what I mean. Like,
that's where we met Baldo.
We met Baldo at the... Oh, was it? Nah.
Yeah, well, I met Baldo through Lo Calendario and through Leah.
I don't think it was. Baldo was playing, and I was there. Me and you were there. We were there for some reason. Maybe we were playing with another band. But I went to Baldo and said to him, "Yo, what are you saying?" Because I needed a guitarist at that time. Or maybe we were just...
We knew them. I had met him already because I was playing with him. He was playing in Lo Calendario. So he was playing percussion.
But I'm sure that was after, though. I'm sure that was after.
I know, but I'm sure I met him there. I know I met him at that
time. Even them, Leia, all of them. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I'm going to get them all on, bro. I'm going to get them all on the podcast and just, like, reminisce and go through all this, bro, and just chat about stuff. But, yeah, so just on, like, I just want to move a bit, like, into some other, like, more about your... So obviously, you're half South African and half English. So, like, can you just talk a little bit, like, about your experience of South Africa and, like, about your family, what the dynamic was like, or, like, and what's your first, like, perception of South Africa? Because you've been there quite a few times growing up and stuff, right? So, obviously, and you've stayed, obviously, with your family there and stuff like that. So, just a little bit about your family and, like, about South Africa.
I think... So, I've been going there since I was... The first trip was when I was 2 years old. And it was the year apartheid ended.
So what was that?
94.
I was about 11.
Okay. And so, yeah, and then the next time I went was when I was in year six. So I would have been, about 12, I think. 11. And then the next time I went, I was in year eight, so secondary school, like 14 or something, 13, 14. And then the next time I went was for my 18th birthday. And then the next time I went after that, I went a year after that to play in Johannesburg. And then the next time... I think I've been there another two times since then.
Mm.
So I've been there quite a few times, and I've been trying. Yeah, I went to Bloemfontein. I was meant to be there literally like this now around this time, but yeah, I played the Bloemfontein Festival with an organization called Nexus. That was last year, and then the year before that, I went there and it was just like a family trip. But yeah, it's cool, man.
What was your perception like of South Africa, and like how did it affect your like I don't know, like being British and then going there and seeing that and then coming back home and going like did it help you navigate life better?
I think it definitely made me understand life a bit on a bit of a deeper level than just being from the UK or just being around Europe, just because of how the culture is different, you know what I mean? And how life is, obviously, it's much harder in South Africa than in England. And you see that, do you know what I mean? You see what people... You see the division, you know what I mean? And you see the kind of difference in lifestyles here and there and what people... Like, the stuff that people go through out there, do you know what I mean?
I'm sure even, like, I mean, you used to stay with your family in Soweto and that, and that's, like, proper hood vibe, bro. Compared to living in Brighton in a nice yard or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's just about kind of... Because even my family, like, all of my family are good, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, yeah, they live in ends and that, but it's...
It's still okay, like...
They're cool, man, you know? So everyone in my family is hardworking. You know, it's cool, but it's different. You know what I mean? And I think it just opened my eyes a lot to like things like education and stuff like that. Like I don't take education for granted because when I was young, I saw how much young people valued education. You know what I mean? And strive to get education. Whereas things like in England, people are spoiled with education. They don't want to be educated. So things like that, like kind of knowing that you have to have a work ethic and, you know, just seeing the way people are, like even in a household, you know, my cousins and that were always really well behaved and stuff.
You know, otherwise they get the...
No, but you know what I mean? It's like a different, and it's not something that's, you know, in England and often in like popular culture, there's this like, this idea of like the children versus the parents and like this kind of Bart Simpson
idea
that kids get, like, oh, I'm going to be naughty just because it's the cool thing to do or whatever. But whereas obviously kids are naughty everywhere, but I think in South Africa when it comes to like at home and that, people are much more respectful and stuff like that. And just seeing that as a young person, like, you know, as a kid,
they'll rather like do it when they leave the house or not in front of their parents or kind of like when they go out and stuff like
that. Yeah. It's something you have respect for your parents, you have respect for. Obviously, that's not always true all the time, but just generally, do you know what I mean? There are just certain things, man, the way people just work hard, you know what I mean? Even when you go to the rural areas, it's even more. You're growing your own food. You're making your meals from an open fire, and you're putting a pot over that. Do you know what I mean? You're also a builder because all the time you're relaying your floor. You're fixing your house. You're doing all of, you know what I mean? All of this kind of stuff. So when I was young, I saw that, and I saw that lifestyle both in the city and in the village. You know, and also obviously I heard things, you know, I see, yeah, it's just, you know.
Oh, well, let me take it.
Even my dad's upbringing as well, like he had a lot to do with that because he was obviously grew up there. And yeah, it was, I think just the main thing I'd say is just knowing that you have to work hard and that you can't, I personally felt that I couldn't take the life I have for granted, you know what I mean?
No, that's
true. I've got a lot of opportunities that, you know, a lot of people in South Africa, but all over the world don't have.
I mean, I always kind of felt that about you when I met you, because like generally younger people, especially because you were in uni and you were already like, you had your plan of what you were doing, you were getting your band together, you already had your project ready. Whereas people in uni, they go to uni thinking that they're going to study to learn how to do that shit. But you're actually supposed to be doing that shit already, like, you know.
Already,
I mean?
Yeah, true.
And let me just change it. Like, not just change it, but like, so that was about like how it affected you in terms of, you know, your work ethic and that. So let me take it a bit more in terms of what was it like being mixed race in South Africa and being mixed race in Britain, and like how did people treat you? Because obviously in South Africa, if you're in Soweto, I'm pretty sure they would have seen like, yo, you're not from here or whatever.
Yeah.
Over in Brighton or whatever, they obviously know that you're not like proper English. So like, how was that like growing up there and seeing South Africa? Like, what did you feel?
I think in South Africa, it was very like, because in South Africa, like, I tend to dress like I'm from there, innit? So I wear like a sporty, you know, I'll keep it, you know, even like, I can't remember. I'm sure when I was younger, like I used to wear, I always had Air Max and that. But like, I always dress like I'm from South Africa, yeah. And I wear my sporty, I kind of. So often a lot of people just say to me, recently more so actually, I think more recently people thought I was South African because people would just say, because when I had my short hair and that, because back, obviously then, I had longer hair, so I looked less South African because I had the braids and obviously it's not huge South African style.
Well, it wasn't back then, definitely.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. But people would say to me, like, I wear a lot. I had one guy saying, you know, and in the village, people sometimes say, Mungu.
Hey, Mlungu.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Mlungu means white person.
White man. Yeah.
White man. But I was in my grandma's area and a guy was saying to me, Hey, white man. And I was like,
the village though?
No, this was in Jersey, innit? Just on outside in Orange Farm. And he was like, yeah, and I thought about like ignoring him, but then I thought, no, if I ignore him, he's really gonna think I'm a white man. So I turned and spoke to him, and he said, yeah. Another guy, no, we were speaking, and I said, no, I'm, you know, half South African and everything like that. We were talking, and it was cool. But another youth thought I was Portuguese. I've had that a few times. Yeah, people thinking I'm Portuguese, but generally people think I'm coloured. And then when I say no, I'm mixed race, people, a lot of the times, have been a bit spun.
Yeah, well, colored people in South Africa will claim you, bro. If you become famous, they'll claim you.
That's the thing. I know. I see that, you know. I see that people are saying, yeah, true. But that's the mad thing about South Africa, like, yeah, the whole kind of colored mixed race argument, or colored and black argument. Yeah, and that was what was interesting as well about when I was speaking to people, especially in Bloemfontein. Like, I had a conversation with these colored girls. And I was chatting about how I was half thing, because I went to get some info or something, and they were like, where are you from? You know, I explained. And they thought I was colored, but it was like, yeah, it's interesting the way people perceive you, you know, like, and perceive themselves. Mm. I come to you and I look like someone from your community, yet I'm half and half. Do you still, you know, is there still the racial tension between my black South African side? Do you get what I mean? And it's
always there, and that's the ignorance, isn't it? Like, for me, it's ignorance. Because people perceive me as fucking any race you can think of, man. Any race you can think of, I've had it, you know what I mean? Chinese, white, German, French, Brazilian, Mongolian, fucking North African, whatever. So I, like, as I've grown older, I just accept it. Like, however you want to perceive me, that's how you perceive me. You know what I mean? I know who I am, and that's it. But like, being in England has kind of just opened my eyes much more, because in South Africa, you almost defined by who you are.
I
open my mouth, people know immediately I'm colored because of the way I speak, you know. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
I think in England as well, like, it's, and I've seen this a lot, you know, when people come from different countries and there's some kind of, it's like my dad was living with some youth from Egypt, and he said that basically, like, there was something that he kind of was looking down on my dad, because obviously my dad's black, you know what I mean? He's black from Africa. And this guy is Egyptian, but he was like black Egyptian, but obviously light skinned black Egyptian and stuff. But he will see himself as Arab.
So yeah, most North Africans.
They kind of say that again.
I say most North Africans rather they want to identify more with Arabs or with Europeans.
Yeah, even a lot of Sudanese. Like, there's a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of the African Arab world will consider themselves
Tunisian
Arab before Afro and Tunisian. Like, and a lot of them obviously are. They look Arabic, but in those countries, like, the people, there's a lot of black people there, you know, and that's it's completely with anyway. My dad was, yeah, he had this thing. This guy was kind of thought he was better than my dad, whatever. They lived together for a while, and when the guy left, he said, you know, being in this country, I've realized I'm black. You know what I mean? And that was like, I even had an argument with some of the guys from Sutu Sounds because they were saying to me, yeah, you're white. And they were kind of saying it in a bad way. They were saying it like in a complimentary way. But I was getting like angry, and I was saying to one of the guys, look, I'm not white. Like, it's insulting to me for you to say that because of what I've been through in this country with racism and stuff like that. Not like it's an insult to be called white, but it was angered me because I've had so much.
No, I know exactly. I've been called white my whole life, bro. It doesn't feel right.
So I'm getting onto these guys, like, we're having this argument and stuff. And then my dad, because obviously it was a bit of a language barrier as well, so my dad came and translated and kind of tried and explained that in this country, if there was a war between white and black, I, you know, how I'm perceived is black. Do you get what I'm saying? So for me, and he was explaining to them, like, for me, there's no question I'm undoubtedly black. But obviously for someone, if you're coming from, like, you know, anywhere in Africa, really, but, you know, even where they're from specifically, like Lesotho, there's an obvious divide between black and white, black people being poor people, white people being rich people, do you know what I'm saying? But just they're not being, like, I don't know Lesotho in that way, but I can't imagine there's too much mix in there either because of how far away it is.
It's landlocked as well, and it's like this.
Landlocked, and even the history through South Africa. But anyway, yeah, so it was like that, and they understood that afterwards as well, you know. And I think it's, yeah, in England, like, yeah, that's how it is. I've kind of had my fair share of racism and whatever, because obviously Brighton's a very white town as well, you know, so that's
been...
So that's been something. But I think being grounded in my roots has helped a lot, you know.
Especially with such a strong, like, Brighton accent, bro. Like, that's the first thing I recognize, because you used to always rap with that, like, proper Brighton, like, you know what I mean? Not Brighton, like, accent.
It was the people I was around at the time, people I look up to, innit? The people I looked up to. It was that Brighton hip-hop scene, proper Brighton, Dr. Syntax, you know.
Yeah, let's go into that. Tell me a bit more, like, let's go a bit of the politics, and now let's go a bit more into, like, your musical influences and, like, what kind of inspires you as a musician and a producer and stuff like that?
I think the my go-to people, I always say Alicia Keys, Tupac, and just kind of reggae music. Bob Marley, I'd say, as well. But I'd say they're probably my three main. Tupac, because of his lyrical content and just the passion and the energy that he brought to the mic. And just to even just his music, like, sonically, it's live sounding, it's proper well done music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was always a West Coast. I always the fuck with West Coast. West Coast.
Always, you know what I mean? Because it's good music.
Like, yeah, there was nice melodic lines, it was sick nice bass melodic, line, yeah, that's it was it. Nice keys. Yeah. So, I mean, they always fucking
everything. It was the singing, everything. It was nice, you know.
Yeah, I'll be honest, so that's, to the East Side later, like, there was a few East Side rappers, but, like,
no, there were good, you know, there were good East Side But it's just a different sound, you know, and I preferred that sound. So Tupac for that reason. I'd say Alicia Keys as well, because she embodied kind of what I was trying to do with the piano and keyboard and hip-hop. In terms of, like, again, harmony, melodies, all that stuff. But
the boom bap.
Integrated kind of classical and jazz keyboard into hip-hop. In a sick way. That's New York, son.
You know what I'm saying? That's that.
That's New York. And then Bob Marley, because of just songwriting ability, songs, variation in genre, everything. Like, what people think of Bob Marley as a reggae artist, but he had so many different tracks that weren't reggae, you know?
Bravo, you came from like that, like, I mean, they, like, Lovers Rockin' That, they were basically recreating Motown records in reggae. So, and that's like...
And you hear that in his music, like...
That's what I'm saying, that you have to understand music, like, yeah, that. And the key change.
Yeah, everything. It's not like a joke. That's what I mean. And that's why I like Bob Marley. But even his, just his topic and the way he delivered and that, I think I'll take a lot from that, because it's just so... it's so powerful, you know. And Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, all them old classic reggae guys, that African music, of course, as well, that South African traditional music. My dad's band, Amapondo, the band that he was in, his old band.
Big band, Amapondo.
Yeah, serious band. So, but obviously, I grew up around them and that, and like, South African influence music, South African music, African music, you know, Kora music, all that stuff. I was raised around all of it. Say that again. West African music. Yeah. You know, so that was like, that's probably my kind of foundation, because even like rhythms now, like when I'm making beats and stuff, the rhythms that I know are rhythms that I learned when I was a kid. You know? Yeah. There you go. You know what I mean? That's probably my top musical influences, I'd say.
Do you like any other shit other than music? Do you have any other hobbies and interests and shit?
I like playing basketball, and I like boxing.
You still do that?
Yeah, I still hit the courts, man. You know,
when, bro? When do you play basketball?
I play. There's a court just there, just down the road there. So yeah? I play Natty and... his brethren, Junior and Sade. Phonetic, isn't it? We just go and bang a ball. And
is Phonetic from Brighton?
She's from Crawley, I think, originally. But she's had ties in Brighton for years. So,
yeah, because I just linked with her. I met her like at the gig we played at Ronnie Scott's in... I knew her, but then she...
No.
Who was that then? Someone else?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking, yeah, okay, Phonetic was on that tune with, she was actually on a tune with Hatter, isn't it?
Kingpin,
always confused with someone else, actually. Played ball, boxing?
Ball and boxing. I haven't boxed for a minute, but yeah, ball and boxing, they're my two number one sports, or hobbies, if you will, and then I don't really have. That's it, really. Ball and boxing and
music.
Music. That's what I like to do.
I'm married now as well, isn't it?
Practically. Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right, man. But yeah, we're not gonna drag on too long now. I mean, we've already discussed pretty much everything. So where can people give us your links and thing. I'll put it in the description and that. And then
so you can at Mercy Music, everything. MRISI Music.
Mm-hmm.
All across the board. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever.
Yeah, YouTube. I'll put the links in the description and that. And then you just released something recently, right?
Yeah. A tune called West Baby.
West Baby. And then did you release something before that?
Zone Out, but I did. I released like an Instagram IGTV video of the last show that we did actually.
The Ronnie Scott's thing,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and is there anything else coming soon? I know it's lockdown, while it's kind of...
Yeah, I've got a tune called Borders is coming soon. It's a big tune. It's a big tune. It's a big tune. And that'll be, yeah, that's, we're kind of in the works with that, so I won't say too much, but it's a big tune. A lot of instruments, live instrumentation.
And no shows and stuff lined up for after lockdown and after...
No, nothing yet, but it's all coming. Mm. It's all coming.
Yeah, look out for my boy Marissi. It's been...
Keenan.
Been sick, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Always real, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for real.
This is the Solar Kid. That's Marissi, and I am out. Peace. Away, away, away.
Away, away.